Karutaka Mitsu excelled in two musical arenas. He scored nearly 100 films during his 40-year career, and he was renowned internationally as the composer of 130 concert works. On top of that, he also wrote a detective novel, appeared frequently on Japanese television as a celebrity chef. This month, Japan NYC, a citywide festival that celebrates Japanese arts and culture, is honoring Mr. Takemitsu with concerts of his work at Carnegie Hall and a two-week movie series starting tonight at Film Forum. Joining us now is Peter Grilley, president of Japan Society Boston and co-producer of a 1994 documentary called Music for the Movies, Toru Takemitsu. Mr. Grilley was also a friend of the composer, and I'm very pleased that he joins me now on our show. Hi.
Good to be here.
And you write that Toru Takemitsu was a giant of music, but equally as important, a giant of friendship. What do you mean by that?
That was actually a phrase from Leon Kirshner, the great American composer. When Toru died in 1996, I sent out telegrams and emails to many of his friends, and Kirshner immediately sent back an answer saying this man was a giant of friendship. And I think by that, he meant that through Toru's cultivating particular artists around the world, composers conductors who conducted his music, but also individual musicians like Peter Serkin or Dick Stoltzman, Paula Robeson, his music was written for them, specifically for them. And it's not to say that other artists couldn't perform the music, but Toru had them very much in mind in composing, and it was the friendship that was very much a bond in the music.
That's despite the fact that he had limited command of most languages other than Japanese?
Toru spoke a kind of English that was the most sort of delicious English. It wasn't English. It was his kind of English, but it was communication was what he was all about, and he managed to communicate with his sort of James Joycean sort of English.
Well, you grew up in Japan and speak Japanese, so I assume you spoke Japanese with him.
Most of the
time. How did you become friends?
Well, my father was a music critic in Tokyo for many years in the 50s and the 60s, and I first met Toru through my father. But my dad didn't really like contemporary music, but I did. So Toru kind of gravitated more toward me. And then when I was working in New York at the Japan Society in New York in the early 80s, I did a film series of his films with his music, about 20 or 25 of his films. And I was surprised to discover at that time, 1980, 81, that no one had ever done a film series focused specifically on the composer. And Toru came for that and stayed for a long time. We became very good friends then.
Now, he worked with certain directors but not others. He worked late in Kurosawa's career with him but not with Ozu or Mizoguchi or Narusa. He worked with some of the other ones who were doing bigger, more dramatic kinds of movies.
Yes, and he also was very closely identified with what's called the Nouvelle Vague, the new wave of Japanese film in the 60s, the younger directors like Shinoda and Oshima, Teshigahara, who did Woman in the Dunes, who placed an enormous kind of confidence in him to not simply provide music for the score, but for the film, but to really be part of the making of the film.
And he would produce more than just music. He would create a whole sound environment.
That's right.
You never were sure whether that sound of someone walking on gravel was music or whether it was just the sound of somebody walking on the gravel.
Well, he would always say
the wind was another one that he used a lot.
Toru always used to say that every sound in a film is part of the score, whether it's a live sound or a musical sound. And in Woman in the Dunes, for example, which is opening the Film Forum series, Woman in the Dunes is a prize example of that. Teshigahara, the director, says there are three characters in this film. One is the man, one is the woman, and the third is the sand. And Toru treated the sand and the sound of the sand and the dripping of the sand and the crunching of the sand as a character.
Well, to some degree, doesn't this come out of the way he developed as a musician? First of all, anytime you read about him, the first thing that you learn is that he was largely self-taught. What does that mean?
He never went to a music school. He never went to university. He never had a formal instructor in music. And he always said that if he had, he'd never be able to write the kind of music he did.
Because he would have been more limited in his approach, because he drew from such a wide variety of styles.
He would have been forced, I think, into a much more academic approach, more limited, exactly. He learned from listening. Very young in life, right after the war, he was ill for about 2 years, and he lay at home with tuberculosis listening to the Far Eastern Network, the military, American military broadcast, listening to jazz. He learned a lot from jazz.
Wasn't Western music banned until World War II in Japan, the end of World War II in Japan?
Not all Western music. The music of German composers was permitted, of course, because Germany was part of the Axis. Music of British composers, French composers, American composers was totally banned.
And jazz.
And jazz, of course. Jazz was a very seditious kind of music. But Toru said, I never had a teacher. I never went to school, but my real teacher of music was Duke Ellington. And I think that's very meaningful about his work.
So that he was the first person who gave him some kind of a breakthrough?
Gave film music.
You say he had a kind of a life-changing moment when he heard Duke Ellington.
Well, the life-changing moment that he spoke of was not so much in terms of Duke Ellington, but French chanson, when at the very last days of the war, he was working, he was a kid of about 15, he was working in a camp where young teenagers were brought to grow crops for the troops. And French music was completely banned, but one of his friends smuggled into the barracks a recording of Parlez-moi d'amour. And he said he hadn't heard music like that. He'd been starved for music through the war. And that just brought – it just went right to his heart, and he said, I've got to do music as my life.
Well, it's interesting that he was influenced by French composers like Debussy, Olivier Messiaen, Saint-Saëns, Americans like John Cage and Duke Ellington, but also Karlheinz Stockhausen and the composers who were using natural sounds to create music. So he just did it all.
He did do it all. And if you listen to the film music particularly, he did music for 100 films. That's 100 totally different, totally separate kinds of composition. Each one had its own identity, and you wouldn't necessarily identify each one with Takemitsu.
And it's interesting that many of the foreign musicians appreciated immediately. Stravinsky, Aaron Copland conducted his scores, and many other famous conductors conducted his work.
Exactly. There's a wonderful sort of fable. I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but Stravinsky was visiting Japan, I think it was 1956, 57, and he asked to hear some of the most interesting Japanese contemporary music. And he was at a radio studio, and the radio technician put on a recording, and Stravinsky started listening and wasn't very interesting. And then they said, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm getting it backwards. The technician put on Takemitsu's music, and Stravinsky did find it interesting, but he wasn't supposed to have been listening to that. He was supposed to listen to somebody else. He said, no, leave that on. And then he asked to meet Takemitsu and became very close as a result.
And supposedly joked, how could such powerful music come from such tiny a fellow?
Tiny a fellow, yeah. Toru was barely 5 feet tall. And I must say, the first time my wife met him, she came away saying, Peter, I think I've just met E.T., and he did have that kind of quality. He was tiny, very frail looking, but he had this sort of charismatic spirit that drew people in, like E.T.
I'm talking about Toru Takemitsu with Peter Grilly, president of Japan Society Boston, and the co-producer of a film about the composer called Music for the Movies, which was made in 1994, just 2 years before Mr. Takemitsu died. How did he see his career? Was it because he did so many film scores, but he also wrote an awful lot of pieces to be performed just as classical music or in the concert halls? Did he see them as all part of the same thing?
You know, he did. He did, and which is unlike many other composers, I think, who composed for film. Bernard Herrmann, for example, wanted always to be a concert composer, a concert hall composer. And he sort of felt that the great music that he did for films was sort of a secondary kind of endeavor. Toru said, music is music, and my music for films is just as important as what I write in the concert hall, and even more so because he said, someone will see a film, millions of people will see a film. Maybe 1,000 people will hear this music of a concert composition.
New Yorkers may be most familiar with his work from the battle scene in Kurosawa's Ran, but they had a bit of a conflict on that, didn't they?
Kurosawa and Takemitsu were both, each in his own separate way, an extraordinarily creative artist. And Kurosawa had certain preconceived notions of what music and film music should be. And he told Takemitsu that for the Ran music, he wanted something like Mahler. He wanted something heavy, massive, gravitas, Mahler. And Toru didn't have that in mind at all for Ran. And in a way, it's a terrible kind of assignment to a composer. You want him to create new music for you, but it has to sound like Mahler. Well, Toru did it, and his score, Mahlerian score, is wonderful, but he wanted to do something very, very different. And he fought with Kurosawa about it, too.
Of course, Bernard Herrmann fought with Hitchcock as well. And luckily, Herrmann won more of those battles than he lost. I suspect that Takemitsu won a lot of his battles, too.
I think so. But, you know, when you think about film and film music, each is an extraordinary creative art in itself.
We have a little clip from Harakiri, which displays the way he used traditional Japanese music. Maybe we should listen to it.
Great.
Japanese traditional music lives by a whole different set of rules than Western music. Can you just score it the same way?
No, you can't. It's a completely different score, different scales. The music we were just hearing is music played by the biwa, which is a very ancient instrument, came from China, 5th or 6th century to Japan. And just when Toru was writing that music for the film, Harakiri, he was also working on the score, on the music for November Steps, which will be played, Seiji Ozawa will be performing it next week at Carnegie Hall, one of his great pieces for the concert hall. And Toru had set for himself a goal of combining classical traditional instruments with a Western orchestra, different forms of scoring, different scales, different forms of tuning, and it was an incredibly difficult challenge, an attempt to really bridge two cultures. What I find very, and it's a great score, what I find very interesting about the way Toru worked is often when he had a major commission for a concert piece, like the November Steps was commissioned by the New York Philharmonic, he often used film music as kind of a sketch pad. He would work out some of the experimental things that he was trying to figure out for the concert piece in a film score. So Harakiri music and November Steps were written at the same time and sort of come out of the same challenges to himself in his mind, intellectual challenges.
One of the big differences is that when he was writing the music for movies, he was involved in a collaboration. But when he was writing concert pieces, he would isolate himself on a mountain.
Exactly, exactly. And that was difficult for him. He was a very personable kind of person. He loved the collaborative approach of movies. And he was lonely writing concert music. And he would always talk about it. He needed to be alone to write it, but he missed the collaborative approach. And then when the piece was ready for the orchestra, he would always be there at every rehearsal working with the musicians and the conductor because he loved working with people. Let's get back to what Kirshner was saying about a genius for friendship.
He died fairly young, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, 65. And really, I don't want to say at the peak of his career because he had many, many peaks and he certainly would have written great music in the future. He died of cancer, and it came upon him very quickly and very surprisingly. He was in good health, and then within 6 months, he was gone.
I suspect one of the reasons that he enjoyed writing for movies so much is that he was a real movie buff.
He was. He claimed in some years he would see as many as 300, 350 movies in a single year. And he loved going to foreign countries and seeing movies in languages that he didn't even understand. to get a sense of who the people were, who the characters were, through the music.
I've been talking with the co-director of a film about Toru Takemitsu called Music for the Movies, Toru Takemitsu, Peter Grilley, who's president of Japan Society Boston. The film was made in 1994, and actually it will be shown – well, let me go through the whole thing. Peter will be introducing Kobayashi's Youth of Japan, which is rarely seen in the United States, tomorrow at 6:30 at the Film Forum on West Houston Street. That will be followed by excerpts from his 1994 documentary that he co-produced. And then Peter will also be introducing Bad Boys on Thursday the 18th at 7:50 at Film Forum. Bad Boys, who directed that?
That's directed by Hani, Susumu Hani. Also a very rare film, very seldom seen here.
Oh, that's Tuesday the 16th, I'm sorry. And then there's also a series of concerts at Carnegie Hall, December 15th and 19th, and at Columbia University's Miller Theater on December 17th. For information on all of those things, you can go to our show page at wnyc.org. And thank you so much, Peter, for being on our show today.
Thank you. A real pleasure, Leonard.